Every Tuesday, this program discusses the environment. Since this is the last Tuesday for current state ahead of our move to weekends here on WKAR, we thought we'd take a look back at 2016's biggest Great Lakes environmental stories. Michigan was in the forefront of a number of those. The Flint water crisis hit a tipping point. Great Lakes governors voted in a landmark decision to divert Lake Michigan water to Waukesha, Wisconsin, and there will be a changing of the guard involving the Great Lakes. For all of that, we welcome back our Great Lakes reporter, commentator, Gary Wilson. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Mark. Good morning, sir.
Let's start with Flint. Last January was a critical month in the Flint water crisis. Briefly remind us what was happening here not quite a year ago.
Well, sure, Mark. If you remember, and it's important to remember, we were coming off of a volatile December. That's when Governor Snyder's task force on Flint issued an interim report that placed the blame for Flint clearly at the doorstep of the Department of Environmental Quality. The task force felt that the DEQ's failure was so egregious that the findings couldn't wait for a final report, which would be months away. And then shortly after, DEQ Director Dan Wyatt resigned under pressure, as did Brad Werfel, the communications director. It was Werfel who had publicly chastised some of those who had questioned Michigan's handling of Flint. Governor Snyder apologized for Flint and accepted responsibility, but not personal responsibility for the crisis. And then in January of 2016, the U.S. EPA, after a long delay, finally used its emergency authority to intervene in Flint, and the regional administrator who was responsible, Susan Hedman, resigned. That was after it was revealed in the Detroit News that she knew months earlier about Flint's lead problems, but said nothing publicly. So it was a crazy time. It was a volatile time. It was a time when you read the paper, listened to the radio, and there seemed to be a new revelation every day.
And then Governor Rick Snyder testified before Congress about Flint, and he testified along with EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy in March. How did that play out?
Well, that was a spectacle, Mark. I still go back occasionally and look at the tapes of that. Governor Snyder was very disciplined. He apologized again to the members of Congress for Michigan's failure in Flint, and again accepted responsibility for it. But EPA Administrator McCarthy was having none of it. She was on attack, and she blamed Michigan and accepted no responsibility for the water failure and for the EPA's failure. And in fact, still hasn't accepted any responsibility yet, even though the EPA Inspector General not too long ago issued a public rebuke of the EPA for its lack of actions. But these hearings were mostly political theater, with Democrats vilifying Snyder and Republicans going after McCarthy. Not Congress at its best, but it was worth watching.
Flint has been in the news all year, but recently, last week, federal funding for Flint was approved. Talk to us about the status of water quality now.
Well, it's definitely improved, Mark, although you can read conflicting reports about how safe it is. So there's no all clear yet on tap water, but it's on the cusp of meeting acceptable standards. And as you mentioned, just last week, Congress finally got around, after months of wrangling, to authorizing $100 million for Flint, which has been long overdue. And that was primarily due to the diligence of Representative Dan Kildee from Flint and Michigan's two senators, Stabenow and Peters. But all this was held up in Washington because the sentiment was there that Flint's problems were Flint's problems and Michigan's problems and not a national problem.
We're talking with Gary Wilson, Great Lakes environmental reporter and commentator, taking a look back at some of the biggest environmental stories involving the Great Lakes in 2016. Now, in June, Great Lakes governors, with the support of two Canadian premiers, voted unanimously to approve Waukesha, Wisconsin's decade-long quest for Great Lakes water. What was the issue for Waukesha, and why was it important?
Well, Waukesha Mark, had long been under a mandate to find a new source of water because its wells are contaminated with radium. And after doing its own diligence, it settled on Lake Michigan as the only viable source. Now, the problem for Waukesha is that it's just outside the Great Lakes Basin and therefore not automatically entitled to Great Lakes water, so it had to secure the approval of all eight Great Lakes governors. And that's important because the request was the first under the Great Lakes Compact, which is designed to keep water in the basin. And it was generally thought to be precedent-setting because there are other communities out there with similar needs.
What was Michigan's role in the Waukesha decision?
Well, it had a big role, and if Michigan's role in Flint was less than exemplary, its role in Waukesha was that of exemplary leadership. Michigan was seen by the other states as the de facto leader of the process, and it did well for itself. Grant Trigger, working for John Allen in the Office of the Great Lakes, guided the other states through the technical and the procedural process, and the other states looked to Michigan for expertise. And the result was that the decision, whether people like it or not, and there are people on both sides of that fence, but this decision has a firm basis on which to stand, and that's important.
The decision aside, a legal challenge was expected, and a group of Great Lakes regional forces are rattling all kinds of legal cages here. What's happening on that front?
Well, it's primarily the mayors. The Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative is the group, and it's U.S. and Canadian mayors, and they've petitioned the governors, requesting a formal hearing to once again make their case that the governors got it wrong. And it's generally thought that this is going to be a requisite precursor to a legal challenge. So when we think we're done with Waukesha, we might not be.
With the Trump administration set to take office, key Great Lakes executives appointed by the Obama administration will likely move on. Michigan's Lana Pollack and Dave Dempsey have held key positions at the U.S. and Canadian International Joint Commission, which advises both countries on transborder water issues. Also, Cameron Davis from Chicago has been President Obama's go-to person for the Great Lakes. What have been their respective roles and accomplishments here over the last 8 years?
Yeah, this is going to be big potentially for the Great Lakes region, as these three folks have been in the front lines for a long time. Lana Pollack has been the U.S. chair of the International Joint Commission, and she's generally credited with refocusing that group away from its historic bureaucratic leanings and making a concerted effort to engage citizens again. It had kind of fallen away from that for a long time. She also put a spotlight on Lake Erie's problems and supported her positions with good science. And she also has her signature on a plan to restore tens of thousands of acres of wetland on Lake Ontario. So that's no small feat. Now, Dave Dempsey from Michigan also, Dave's one of the best policy minds in the region, I would add, and he did extensive work behind the scenes on the IJC's Lake Erie Algae Plan. And I'd add that Dave's an MSU guy to boot, so both of those folks will be missed. Now, Cam Davis, he oversaw the $2 billion Great Lakes Restoration Initiative for the Obama administration. He's generally recognized for coining the phrase that under the Obama administration, the Great Lakes would receive a new standard of care, and that's generally happened. So Davis has been in the trenches for a long time. So whether we agree with their policies or not, these folks have been a policy force, and a lot of institutional memory will be leaving when they do.
Is it likely they'll be replaced?
Well, Mark, now we're entering into murky waters. As we all know, it's hard to predict what any Trump administration will do. We do know that the EPA especially is in the Trump's administration's sights. I see it hard to see a replacement coming for Cam Davis. That slot was created specifically for the Restoration Initiative. could be wrong, but I don't see a replacement for Davis. Now, Lana Pock is a different story. She has a direct interface that's codified in the law with Canadian counterparts. So, again, anything is possible on under the Trump administration, but I would see her being replaced.
And briefly, Gary, what's on your radar for 2017?
Always good to look ahead. Flint, the issue is going to be around for some time in some form. But what I would and that's good. We need to keep an eye on Flint. But I'd keep my eye on the Enbridge Straits of Mackinac pipeline and Nestle's request to the MDEQ for more water for bottled water. Pipelines and water taking strike a chord in Michigan these days, and activists I know will be energized on both of those issues in 2017. So, and I'm sure there'll be things that we can't see yet that'll keep us occupied.
We talked a few times about Lake Erie algae blooms as well in 2016, Gary. What kind of year was it? How are you processing what happened this year with regard to algae in Lake Erie?
Well, algae took time out. The weather forces were favorable for keeping the blooms in check, which is always a caution because next year could be another bad year. So algae is going to be a big issue in 2017 again. I just read the other day where the mayor of Toledo personally wrote to President-elect Trump and asked him to engage on Lake Erie's algae problems, so he can put that on his stack of things to do. And in recently passed legislation, there's going to be an algae coordinator for Lake Erie. So algae is one of those things that's not going away in the near term.
We want to thank Gary Wilson, our Great Lakes reporter commentator, for this quick look back on 2016. Happy holidays, Gary. We'll talk to you next year.
Same to you, Mark, and the KAR staff. It was good to be with you this year.
This environmental segment of Current State is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. For more news of the Great Lakes environment, check out greatlakesecho.org and wkar.org.